James chapter 4, and I'd like to read for us our text tonight, verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me read also chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. What we're looking at here is as James is drawing his letter to a close, he is beginning to put together some broad principles for us and for the people that are reading this letter. And you notice the beginning of verse 13, you notice the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 5, the same phrase, go to now. Go to now. In other words, pay attention now to these things. Verses 13 through 17, pay attention to your invalid confidence, to your earthly life. And then chapter 5, pay attention to your invalid confidence, to your earthly riches. You see, as we look at our text tonight, there's something that readily comes forward, and that is this question, for what is your life? What is your life? Think about that. Really. What is your life? And with that question, we tag on all of these different ideas of what value is my life? Of how long will I have life? What purpose is my life? You have these questions that are ringing here in the text. And James, he knows how to get right at our hearts and to point us very clearly at a principle or principles that will challenge us to godly living. Let me just break down the text for us and then we'll seek to apply it. What we see here, he's saying, pay attention, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, we'll continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Well, that sounds like business, right? It's a business practice. These are business terms. There's this term buy and sell is the idea of trading and making a profit. And there's nothing wrong with good business practices. There's nothing wrong with applying them in life. But I believe you, as well as I understand here, that Jesus or that God is not condemning business practices here, but rather what he's condemning is relying upon tomorrow for today. Think about that. Relying upon what is to come for today. What is your life? Well, my life is now, right now. I have what I have right now, and that's what I know I have. What do I have tomorrow? I don't know that I have tomorrow. And that's an important thing that we've got to get into our heads. James here, as we very well know, has been dealing with all kinds of different challenges in this church. And he's dealing with very proud people. Chapter 4, there, right in the middle of this chapter, he brings forth this solution to the wars and fightings among them. Humble yourself, verse 10, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humility. But now he points at them and he says, yes, there are some of you that are counting on your tomorrows to help you to make it through your todays. But what does he say, verse 14, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? As I thought about this, I thought about a practice that I've begun in my own life, and I'm not always consistent with this, but I'm trying. And that is that I do not know what the last words will be that I will say to my children or to my wife. I do not know what the last look will be that they will see or experience from me. I do not know what their final memory will be of me, because I don't know the extent of my life. And so with that in mind, I've tried to make a practice of when we part. When we part and we're not together physically, I try to make sure that I've confessed my sin. I try to make sure that I've expressed my love. I try to make sure that they've felt my physical affection. Just yesterday, a group of us guys went out to play racquetball, and I woke up with something pounding on my conscience, and it had to do with my relationship with my wife. And I knew that I wasn't going to be seeing her that morning. She was still asleep, still in bed. So I made sure to make time to write her a little letter before I left, to express my apologies for the way I handled something the night before. Why did I do that? Why is that valuable? Am I just crazy? Am I just overthinking things? Some people may think that, but in my own heart, it's my own way of applying some of the principles that we see here. I do not know if I will have tomorrow. So I wrote her a letter and put it in a drawer that I knew she would find it first thing in the morning. And it's because of principles such as these that we need to make sure that our todays are filled with good. We've seen a lot of things going on in the book of James, and a lot of ways that he is confronting the church and confronting us. This final verse in this chapter, verse 17, we are very familiar with it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I took some time to go through the book of James up to this point, and this is not an exhaustive list, but this is a list that I could come up with of his instructions for us as believers. Bear with me as I read this list of 23 things that he's been addressing. And as you will see, God has given us many instructions on how to be a godly man, godly woman. And we need to be that godly man and that godly woman today. Now. Count it all joy. Do not err. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Put off sinful behavior. Put on the truth of the word. Be a doer of the word. Look into that perfect law of liberty. Bridle that tongue. Take care of the orphans, the widows. Keep yourself from being stained by the world. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not show partiality. Speak and act as one who will be judged by the law of liberty. Assure that your faith is backed up by its by works, for faith without works is dead. Have a controlled tongue and a consistent tongue. Display godly wisdom. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Humble yourselves. Speak not evil against your brother. And that brings us up to our text today. Wow, you know, you may say, well, man, you're making it sound like this life, this Christianity is a list of do's and don'ts. Well, no, I mean, Galatians, Apostle Paul puts it very succinctly, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Letters like these help us to know what that means. Galatians gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Speaks of those things, those qualities that should be evident in a person's life. So back to James, he says, now, you have this in your mind, you want to go to this city, you want to buy, you want to sell, you want to stay there for a year, and you want to make money, you want to get gain. He's obviously pushing some buttons at some folks that are looking at this aspect of money and monetary possessions, and he really nails it in chapter 5 when he speaks to the rich. But they have this mentality, and then he says, but you don't know what shall be on the morrow. You don't know it. What is your life? Another way you could say that, of what sort or of what nature is your life? It is present tense, right now. It is a vapor, a mist, like a cloud, like smoke. One thing my children enjoy doing is watching the smoke rise from a candle that's blown out. My wife loves candles at the dinner table, and so very often we will have candles there, and so the kids go through this rotation of who can blow them out. You got to set those kinds of things up, right? So we have, you know, whose turn is it to blow it out? And so, poof, we blow the candle out. And inevitably, all of our eyes, what do? It follows those sweeping curves and lines of the smoke as it rises. And what happens? It totally disappears. It's gone. It's gone. Leaves no trace, leaves no legacy. It's gone. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Remember the story in Luke of this rich man, the farmer. He had a lot of results from that harvest. So he asks himself, what shall I do? Luke chapter 12. Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to put down my barns, tear them down, and I'll build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, and this is Jesus sharing this, okay? But God said unto him, thou fool. That's what God thinks of that kind of attitude. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He's speaking of that. He gives that parable or story in the context of covetousness and speaking against being one who covets. And isn't that part of what's causing all of these troubles, beginning of chapter 4 in James? People coveting and wanting other people's things. These battles that are going on. Wanting gain. Job chapter 7, verse 7 says this, oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Speaking of smoke, the psalmist writes this in 102, verse 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. Think about that. Think about what happens when things are burned up. There's nothing there of any remnant of what it looked like before. It's gone. So what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Some have tried to explain our lives as a tiny little dot on a very, very long line. The very, very long line is eternity, is God. And this long line has no beginning and no end. And we are just this, our earthly life is this tiny little minuscule dot. When in fact, that's way, way over what it really is. It's just so, so small. But think about this. Think about this now. It's so, so very small. But yet God in His infinite wisdom has given us His eternal word for that small little time of life. So that you and I know how to make that little dot count for eternity. God values your life here and now. He's got a purpose for us. Here and now, no matter how short and small that might be. And He's given us instructions on how to make it count in His Word. That tells me it's valuable in the sight of God, even though it may be like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then, poof, it vanishes away. That word vanisheth. It is snatched away. Its existence is destroyed. It's gone. Verse 15 is encouraging because he's telling us, well, you don't think this way, but you should think this way. Verse 15. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this. Or that. You know, this is a putting into perspective our lives. What is it? What do I mean by that? Our lives are under the total control of our sovereign Lord. It's according to His will and purpose that we have our existence. That we move, that we operate. Think about our church. Think about our existence here as a body of Christ. You know, as we seek to move forward and be a place that is pleasing to God, be a people, I should say, be a people that are pleasing to God. As we move forward together, may it be with this heart attitude, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you operate that way? Do you operate in such a way? Do I operate in such a way that I proceed forward with this in mind? God has that future in control. Having this perspective is very important, because what it does is it puts us in our place, realizing, you know what, I'm not in control of the future. But I today need to live faithfully. I need to live faithfully with what I have right now. Perhaps that is one of the reasons why Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he said this: give us our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, God knows what we need. And really, our needs are daily needs. You know, what we need doesn't extend to way out into the future. What we truly, really need is right now, right today. And that's infinite wisdom from the Lord. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Notice he's not condemning planning practices. But he's saying, have the right perspective. Have the right attitude. Don't rely upon tomorrow to help you to get through today. Verse 16, he very clearly condemns this wrong attitude of boasting, glorying in your boastings, glorying in your pride, your empty braggart talk, is the way one commentator put it. An empty presumption which trusts in the stability of earthly things. Such boasting is evil. Such boasting is of a bad nature. So verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, James has laid out a lot of things for his people, for the readers, for us. You know, we're accountable for what we hear. We are accountable for these things. Now that we know them and they are declared as God's instructions for us, we are accountable to abide by them. For if we do not, we know they are of God, we know they are good, but if we do them not, that's what this verse is saying. Then we are sinning. Then we are not obeying God. And so with this verse, it is important, and really what this is James's way of holding us accountable to living a righteous life consistently, to have a short account of sin, to readily be confessing today, right now. Do not rely upon tomorrow for today. Rather, humbly submit to the Lord's sovereign will and live faithfully today, so that if tomorrow comes, you are prepared to face it with a clean heart and testimony. You think about that? Nothing ruins a Christian's life of obedience today more than an overhead of sin from yesterday. Let me say that again. This is just a different twist, a different perspective. Nothing ruins a Christian's life of obedience today more than an overhead of sin from yesterday. It's important, dear ones, to deal with that, with the sin. To do good. Because if you do not, it is sin. So what are we to do? We'll make every day count for eternity. Make it count. Make it count. Don't be presumptuous with your life. I encourage you, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Think about your life and your relationships. Think about them. And don't trust in tomorrow to make things right. Make them right today. James has given us so many different things to apply. And the rest of the Word of God is continuing to show us things as God, in His grace, reveals them through the teaching of His Word in our lives. And may we be faithful. May we be faithful to be godly. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Therefore, we must live today so that if we have tomorrow, we are ready to make it count for eternity. You know, that's should be a mark of us as Christians. We live today with great zeal for the Lord. We please Him. And our relationships are marked by that. So that when we wake up in the morning, we're ready to do it all over again. We're not digging ourselves out of some hole like I found myself doing yesterday morning. May we make every day count for eternity. God, it has been a challenging message, and I thank You for being gentle with us. Lord, I realize very much that phrase, you need to practice what you preach. And God, I'm praying that You would help me. Help me to make every day count for eternity. Lord, even now You may be showing different people in this room things that shouldn't belong or are not good. Or You've been showing them things that they know they are to be doing, but they haven't been doing them. God, I'm thankful for Your Spirit. I'm thankful for Your grace and Your forgiveness. I'm thankful, Lord, that in this book that James is writing to and the incredible sin and things that were going on in this church, Lord, I'm thankful that he has truth like this. He tells us, you tell us how to live. You tell us what the right perspective is. And Lord, may we finish today, may we finish it well. And Lord, if it be Your will, may tomorrow be a tomorrow of great godliness. May we please You, if by Your grace we have breath tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.